Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, on this show, we've talked a lot about, and will continue to talk about, how Greater Boston is changing. You know, that urban renaissance income inequality tension that touches so many aspects of how we live.
It even affects the youngest among us. Take this startling fact. In the city of Boston, specifically, the population in the 1930s was only slightly higher than it is now. But back then, there were twice as many school-age kids as there are today.
There's been a steady depopulation of young children from Boston, a trend that spiked in the 70s and 80s, but continues today, which makes some wonder if the city is becoming kid-free Boston. That's the title of a recent article in Commonwealth Magazine. Larry DeCara co-authored the piece, and he's a partner at Nixon Peabody in Boston. He's also a former Boston City Councilor, specifically City Council President, and he joins us now in the studio. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
So first of all, Larry, I mean, you are Boston through and through, and I wanted to actually start with you taking us back to your childhood in Dorchester. What was it like?
I grew up in Dorchester on a street where mostly we had two-family homes. There were a couple of rich people had singles, but it was mostly twos. Most of the twos had families, different generations. My mother's parents were on the first floor. We were on the second floor with my father's mother. And when I got older, I moved to the third floor. And that's the way Codman Hill Avenue, St. Gregory's Parish, Dorchester Lowell Mills, USA was. And when it snowed, lots of kids were out there with shovels.
To help out, yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I suppose is palpable now, given the recent weather that we've had. But, I mean, what you're saying is that there were lots of kids and lots of families.
Absolutely. We had three children, and people almost felt sorry for us because there were only three of us.
Okay.
Most of them were fours and fives and sixes, and that was not uncommon. It was a very kid-friendly city.
And in your article, Kid Free Boston, you and your co-authors say today that is no longer true.
What's happening today is that middle-class people, all sorts of different backgrounds, are being displaced by people who don't have kids. And the three families and the two families where I grew up and where lots of people grew up, where there were five and six rooms in a flat, which is perfect for a family, are in many cases now being occupied by single people who can afford to pay more.
I mean, in fact, you have some very specific numbers as an example from Jamaica Plain around Halifax Street.
Absolutely.
In 1930, the total number of residents there in that neighborhood, 192, there were 35 kids under the age of 18. 2013, there are 119 total residents, so fewer, but only 11 kids.
Absolutely, and although the census doesn't tell us exactly how old those children are, a lot of them are in baby carriages. There's very few children of school age. And that's one street, happens to be near where I live, mostly two-family houses, not the richest, not the poorest. I thought it was a good cross-section.
Okay, so, I mean, for people with the long memories, they will obviously remember that there was that big spike in the 70s and 80s of families leaving Boston, following busing, et cetera. What are the major trends that are pulling families out of the city today? I mean, housing has got to be right up there.
Housing is number one. Schools is right up there. Often people will stick in the city until a child takes the Latin school test, and if they pass the Latin school test, they stay living in the city, and if they don't, they move. Happens every spring.
Mm. But you also talk about this sort of ebb and flow of people, right? So once they have the kids who reach the school age, they're moving out of the city into surrounding communities and suburbs, and then maybe some of those very same people, once their kids graduate from high school, are coming right back
in. They come on back, and especially the ones who are the so-called empty nesters, have far more money to spend on housing than they did 20, 25 years prior, or that comparable people do today.
Okay, so, but Larry, let me ask you, is this child depopulation trend true of, you know, across the city? Because I wonder, what about East Boston? What about, you know, your old stomping grounds in Dorchester or Mattapan?
Certain neighborhoods of the city are less impacted. East Boston has large numbers of mostly Latin American refugees, lots of kids. West Roxbury still has some so-called traditional families, but it's impacted Southie, where they have fewer youth hockey teams. It's impacted the North End, where young people now go play Little League on Beacon Hill. It's impacted Dorchester, near where I grew up, and it certainly has impacted Jamaica Plain, where I live today.
Okay. So tell me why this matters. I mean, the youth leagues, hockey, baseball, et cetera, I completely get that point. But why is it important? What beyond the fact that kids aren't playing sports with each other the way they might have a generation
ago? I think it's important because the city has to have a little bit of everybody. And I think Boston has done a good job of including a whole bunch of people who were not included 30 or 40 years ago. And the question is, are we, without any intent, beginning to exclude some of the people who may have constituted the majority 30 or 40 years ago?
Okay, so let me play the deliberate foil here, Larry, if I may.
Because that's your job.
Because I wonder, part of me does genuinely wonder, what is the real problem here? I'm going to reference Alan Greenblatt's article entitled "Do Cities Need Kids?" You know of it. It appeared in the February issue of Governing Magazine. And he asks this question, or he states that the fact is that a lack of kids isn't such a bad deal for a prospering city. Now, he's looking at Seattle specifically. Childless singles and couples pay their taxes without demanding much in the way of services, at least in terms of schools. And then, if your families don't have kids, then your demand for local services is really going to be low. That makes it easy to balance your budget.
He's absolutely correct. And then the real question is, where do people live? And I would argue that a great city has to make provisions for all sorts of people to be able to live.
So that is, it seems to me, at the heart of the matter. That's the crux of the matter here, because in that same article, governing article, Greenblatt quotes Seattle Mayor Ed Murray, because he makes this very stark point. He says, creating a monoculture with just one or two slices of the population being able to live in a city itself does not make for a bright future. Ed Murray says, if cities like Seattle don't get this right, then what you see today as great is not sustainable. Is that what's at stake here?
I think he's 100% correct. And I would say the same if the city was 100% Catholic or 100% Jewish or 100% white or black or whatever. A city should have room for everybody.
Because I'm wondering if, when we speak about families and kids here, are they basically just a powerful proxy for the middle class as
Absolutely.
A whole?
Absolutely. Mostly middle-class people through the years have been families with children.
Okay, so do you have any prescriptions here, Larry? I mean, you're a lifelong Bostonian. Is it possible to, say, create a city, and specifically what would you do to maintain those young professionals while also making it livable for families?
I think we have to make it easier to build housing. Mayor Walsh has made some great initiatives. That probably includes undoing some of the downzoning of the past 30 years. If we had more housing stock, there'd be less pressure on the existing stock. Some of the three-deckers would be freed up. We certainly can look, as Professor Bluestone and others have suggested, creating villages for graduate students. Doesn't have to be big space, enough place to sleep, brush your teeth, maybe watch the Red Sox, and take some of the pressure off of the three-deckers and JP and Mission Hill and elsewhere.
Yeah. You know, and also just the joy of seeing kids living in their city, you know, and looking at them and looking at the future of Boston at the same time.
Some of them may even want to shovel your snow.
If you're lucky and you pay well. Larry DeCara is partner at Nixon Peabody in Boston. He's former president of the Boston City Council, and he co-authored a piece for Commonwealth Magazine titled Kid Free Boston. There's a link to it at radioboston.org. Larry, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
Stay with us. Coming up, March Madness and the challenge of containing the madness. We'll talk about the high-pressure work of college basketball refs. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.